Education, celebrating 20 years of being a source for what works in education. More at edutopia.org.
Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news here on Morning Edition. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
The nation's financial stability appears to be perilously close to the brink as Congress seems incapable of solving the stalemate, and House Majority Leader Eric Cantor of Virginia seems caught in a dilemma. Does he support Speaker Boehner, who's trying to fashion something that could ultimately pass, or does he support the Tea Party wing of the GOP, whose members are adamant about more cuts?
Call it Cantor's conundrum. Of course, there were all these signs of muscle on Cantor's part, walking away from the Biden talks, mixing it up with the president, undercutting Boehner on a grand solution. And now there appears to be no sign, at least as of last night and this morning, that Cantor can deliver the votes. The notion here is certainly advanced by the Democrats that somehow there is a runaway caucus, a runaway majority caucus in the House of Representatives. This is clearly a test to the Republican leadership, and if it should fail, then perhaps Cantor's standing as Speaker-in-Waiting could be imperiled.
Governor Bob McDonnell is urging Congress, especially Virginia's delegation, to coalesce behind Speaker Boehner's debt ceiling bill. Where does that put McDonnell in the overall scheme of things?
What we're watching over the past week with Bob McDonnell is some damage control. Last week he used what Barack Obama called that dirty word, compromise, in pressing the Congress and the White House to reach terms on the debt issue. The right wing of the Republican Party immediately took that as a sign that Bob McDonnell suddenly was in favor of higher taxes. So he's been spending about a week trying to make clear that that's not where he stands. So he is now issuing this statement in which he says he is supportive of the Boehner scheme. I suspect it has more to do with reassuring the Tea Party wing than really pushing for a passage of some kind of compromise, to use use McDonald's term.
Mm-hmm. About 3.5 minutes left. Tim Kaine and George Allen, who are running for the Senate in next year's election, neither of them officially nominated. Allen still facing some opposition for his party's nomination. But there's been some polling about their race, and of course they've had to weigh in on this debt crisis business.
Now, first, the polling, public policy polling, shows Kaine with a statistically insignificant lead of about 3 percentage points over Allen. What's really interesting, I think, in that poll is the big advantage at this point, again, at this point, that Kaine has over Allen among independent voters who traditionally decide these sorts of elections. The interesting fallout from the debt fight in Washington at that Senate campaign level is that Kaine is, you know, offering some lukewarm support for the Reid plan. It's not quite what he likes. Allen, on the other hand, is saying he won't support anything that doesn't include a balanced budget amendment. The Democrats see this as an opening and are suggesting that George Allen, who's been talking about budget balance amendments in his entire political career, is somehow in support of default. It's just another example of how the national issues are cascading through this still unfolding Senate race.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Virginia General Assembly is back in town today. I guess technically they've been in special session for months now, but they really haven't been visible. They're going to come to town today and finally choose a couple of Supreme Court justices and some other judges.
Yeah, if you're looking for an example of Washington-like gridlock in Richmond, it's been this months-long fight over vacancies on the Virginia Supreme Court. It appears that Elizabeth McClanahan and Dorothy Powell will be elevated from the appellate court to the Supreme Court. Dorothy Powell would be the first African-American on the Supreme Court. Of course, there will be some trickle-down effects through these promotions. There'll be vacancies on the appellate court, and there are a number of tertiary court vacancies that need to be filled as well. The governor really brought the assembly, somewhat brought the assembly to heel on this, sending off a very stern letter to Bill Howell, the Speaker, and Dick Sasslaw, the Senate Democratic Majority Leader, saying, look, if you guys aren't going to do this, quit and let me do it.
Yeah, it would fall to the governor if the General Assembly fails to fill those judicial vacancies while in session. This special session is supposed to be about congressional redistricting, too, but...
That drags on. There is this standoff between the House and the Senate over whether to create another minority-majority influence district. The Senate Democrats like the idea of a second one. The House Republicans don't care for it, fearing that it will imperil one of their Republican members.
So, again, it's being put off till a later day. All right, we have about 30 seconds. I guess by the time we talk again next Friday, we will know whether the financial status of the nation has gone over the cliff.
And don't forget the trickle-down effects of this, to use that Reagan line, for the state. If there's a downgrade in U.S. Credit rating, that could affect Virginia's AAA.
Yeah, because of all the federal installations and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, thanks to Jeff Shapiro, who joins us each Friday morning at this time on Morning Edition. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Jack Welch, celebrating his wife Jeanette's birthday by honoring the Shepherd's Center of Richmond, serving seniors for over 25 years. This is WCVE Public Radio. The time is 8:40.